turn with me this evening and let us look at Psalm 127. And we'll take as our text verse 1. Psalm 127, a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We are looking this evening at one of the Psalms of degrees. We've seen how these Psalms are used and are sung by the children of Israel as they made their way to the various feasts, particularly the three main feasts in Israel, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord Jesus Christ himself made his way at one of these great feasts at the age of 12. Well, we've seen how in Psalm 124 there is deliverance, Psalm 125 there is wonderful assurance. Psalm 126, the previous psalm, it speaks about freedom and liberty. But now this psalm speaks about building the house, the encouragement and the peace and the blessings of the Lord that the children of Israel had as they made their way up to Jerusalem. Many of the commentators and many who write about the psalm speak about how the Lord blesses a home. He blesses the home with temporal blessings, the children and such like. And I think for myself that here is a psalm that is highly spiritual. It's speaking about God's home. It's speaking about God's children. They're the inheritance of the Lord. The children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. These are great blessings. And there is no doubt that if we, no matter what we do, no matter what we put our hand to, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be, wherever it may be, we need the Lord's blessing. But where more do we need that blessing than when we come into God's house? The children of Israel are making their way up to the temple. They're coming from all the parts of Israel, and they're making their way up to the house of God. When more do they need God's blessing upon them? When more are they able to say it's God, not themselves? And who is there better to be able to speak about that than Solomon? This is a psalm of Solomon. I believe that with John Calvin that this was a psalm that was written by Solomon. That means it wasn't written after the children of Israel come back after the captivity, but rather it was a warning to the Lord's people right at the outset when the temple was being built. And who better to speak about that than Solomon? There are two things about Solomon that make him very aptly able to be qualified to speak about the building of the city, or the building of the house and the keeping of the city. There are two parts to it. You see, there's the building of the house, and there's the keeping of the city. These two things really are the two things that the psalm is going to speak about. And who better to speak about that than Solomon? Because first of all, he's the one that built the temple. He's the original builder of the temple. The temple would bear his name. It would be Solomon's temple. What a wonderful building Solomon made when he built the temple. So he was ideally suited to speak about the building of the temple, the building of the house. But he was not only ideally suited because he was the one who was the builder, but secondly, because he had such wisdom. Remember how Solomon asked for wisdom, and the Lord gave him wisdom. You think of the Queen of Sheba, who came from the other parts of the world. She travelled all the way round the world to see something of the wisdom of Solomon, his riches and everything else. Solomon was a man that was highly gifted with wisdom by the Lord. So he is able to speak about building the house, and he's able to speak about the keeping of the city. He was the king, the builder of the temple, and the keeper of the city, and a man full of wisdom. So what better man to speak about this than Solomon? I say right at the beginning that there's a warning here. It's not so much the children of Israel returning after captivity and then singing about the keeping of the house and everything. But here, right at the outset, there's a warning. Remember how at the outset of the cross, there's a warning with Judas. Well, here at the outset of the building of the temple, there's a warning that it's God that builds the temple, it's God that keeps the temple at the city. And they were to forget that at their peril. Indeed, the children of Israel were to forget that. It was because of they forgot this psalm that they would sing on their way to Jerusalem. They forgot it, and they were taken into captivity because they forgot the Lord. And then when you come to the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the time of the elders, the chief elders, the scribes and the Pharisees of the Lord's day, they had forgotten altogether the psalm. It wasn't the Lord who built the house, and it wasn't the Lord that kept the city. They looked to themselves. They looked upon themselves and they forgot the Lord. And ultimately, the city is destroyed and the temple is no more because they forgot this psalm. And we this evening, 2,000 years later, after the coming of Christ, we forget this psalm at our peril. The church forgets this psalm at its peril. That it is not man that builds the house. It is God. It is God's house. And it is not man that builds the city and is the keeper of the city. It's the Lord who's the keeper of Israel. These are the two points that are being brought out here. Well, let us see, first of all, that when this psalm is penned by Solomon, he begins with the Lord. He doesn't begin with the blessings, with the children and meeting the enemies at the gate, even his enemies being subdued, or that he's happy. He doesn't begin there. He begins with the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. He begins with the Lord. And you see, that's where true spiritual life begins. True spiritual life always begins with the Lord. True spiritual considerations begin with the Lord. You think of how the psalmist in Psalm 27, he says, "One thing I of the Lord desired and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I may within God's house remain. That I the beauty of the Lord behold in me and admire, and that I in his holy place may reverently inquire." The psalmist is saying, "One thing I desire." Now that doesn't mean to say that he doesn't have other desires. He's got other desires in his family, in his workplace. He's got many desires. But there is one desire that is there at the beginning of them all, at the head of them all, because he knows that if he's blessed by the Lord as he comes into his house, as he's blessed spiritually, so it is that he'll be blessed everywhere else. The psalmist here doesn't begin with the blessings. He begins with the Lord, the source of these blessings. And he knows that if he acknowledges this very first part, then all the other blessings will flow from it. And that's what we need to remember this evening. As we come into God's house, it's a spiritual blessing that we desire, and if we are designing a spiritual blessing, then we begin with the Lord. It is the Lord that builds. It's the Lord that is the keeper. It is acknowledging God's sovereign grace in all the affairs of the church, in all the affairs of man. And if we begin there, then we're beginning at a good place. If we don't begin there, then we're going wrong. We need to begin, first of all, with the Lord. That's what was wrong with Judas, wasn't it, that we saw this morning? Judas wasn't any different to the other disciples. They all had it wrong. They all thought that Jesus would establish a kingdom. But the difficulty is that Judas wasn't spiritual, because Christ wasn't the first ruling in his heart. It was money. He was beginning elsewhere. He was beginning the wrong place. You begin in the right place. We begin in the right place. Whoever we are this evening, begin in the right place. Look for the spiritual blessings that come from the Lord alone. And what are we told here? Well, there are two things. That the Lord is the builder and the Lord is the keeper. The Lord is the builder. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain, but build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. I imagine the children of Israel making their way up to Jerusalem. They're coming here, coming to the temple, they're coming to the city. They've already had thoughts about the house of God. Remember in Psalm 122, I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. They're on their way, and if it hadn't been for the Lord, had the Lord not been on our side, now Israel may say, they would have been, their whole nation would have been under jeopardy. Here all the males were making their way to Jerusalem. The enemy could easily come in, but it was the Lord that was on their side. And how the Lord gave them freedom. And now it's the Lord, as they're coming to Jerusalem, they're acknowledging that it's the Lord that has built the temple, not Solomon. Solomon here, for all his wisdom, he says, except the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain that build it. He knew that it wasn't himself that was building the house. He knew that it was the Lord alone that was able to build such a house. Solomon, in all his wisdom, was not able to do it. But the Lord, he acknowledges that it's the Lord that does it. My friend, that's what we have to do this evening. We need to make sure that it's the Lord that's the builder. If you're going to build a house and you're going to be a builder, there must be a foundation upon which you build. You've got to build upon a solid foundation. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in Matthew's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, if you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to this very fact when in chapter 7, and he, in from verse 24 onwards, he speaks about the wise and the foolish builders. So whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock. See, the foundation is the foundation that God himself has laid. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. In other words, all the trials and troubles of this life can blow all they like. But if you are built upon that foundation that is a rock, then it will never be moved. But he talks then about the foolish man who builds his house upon sand. It's not built upon the rock. The rain descendeth and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, we need to build upon the foundation that the Lord has built, not building upon the foundation that man builds, because the foundation that man builds will be like sand. You should never build upon a foundation that I lay, or a church lays, or anybody else lays. You need to build upon the foundation that has been laid. And Paul, when he writes to the church at Corinth, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation that has been laid, and that is the one foundation upon which we build. And that is true of what Paul says to the church at Ephesus. He speaks about built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. So the church is built upon the foundation that the Lord himself builds. That's what we must be building upon. That's what we must be labouring upon. But it's not just that the Lord was the builder of the house. That was a wonderful thing, that the Lord built the house. And Solomon recognises that if it hadn't been for the Lord, those who laboured would have been labouring in vain. But he's the keeper of the house, the keeper of the city. The Lord is the keeper of his church. The keepers of the city, the watchmen on the city that would be watching, they could be watching night and day. They could have been there watching this direction, watching that direction. And yet, they would be watching in vain unless the Lord watched over the city. Solomon's saying here, it's the Lord that's the keeper of Israel. It's the Lord who is the keeper, and the watchmen may watch, but they can't change the situation. They can't be watching every single move that's been made. And as they're watching every shadow, listening to every sound. Do you know what they're needing? What the church needs is the divine blessing. It's the divine blessing that's necessary to keep God's people. And so it is that the church has been kept since the time of Jesus Christ, down through many times where there have been those who would seek to overthrow the church. There would be those who would seek to destroy the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would seek to cast out the Bible and have the Bible burnt, and those who believed in it burnt at the stake. They've tried to destroy the church, and they would have succeeded. But it's the Lord who's not only the builder of the church, he's the keeper of the church. He's the one that keeps the church. And if there is anything that we need today, it's to acknowledge that it is all of the Lord. Now, we notice here in secondly that it's they, because the Lord builds the church, and because the Lord is the keeper of the city, that doesn't mean to say that the church and those of the church don't have their duties to perform. He says, except the Lord, they that labour, they labour in vain. Doesn't say the Lord is the builder of the house, therefore you don't need to labour at all. And the Lord is the watchman, so you don't need to watch because the Lord is the keeper. No, he doesn't say that. He says that unless the Lord has built it, then your building is in vain. And unless the Lord watches, the watchmen watch in vain. But with the Lord, the builder, and with the Lord being the keeper, those who are building and those who are watchmen, they are watching and they are building to profit. They are truly building. It's implied within it, you see, that they labour. They are labourers or they are watchers. They are watchers or they are labourers. They are on the wall watching, or they are labouring at the forefront. And everyone has their various duties to perform. You see, it's like someone who's a builder. And a builder will use instruments to build a house. He will use various instruments to build a house. He doesn't just utter a word and there it is. The Lord is able to do that. The Lord did that in creating all things out of nothing in 6 days. He's able to say the word and it is performed. Even the Lord Jesus Christ was able to raise Lazarus out of the grave, but he didn't have the people there standing by doing nothing. He told them to roll away the stone. Do you not think that Jesus, who was able to raise Lazarus from the dead, who was able to calm the storm, wasn't able to roll away that stone himself? Of course he was. But you see, they labour and he uses them as instruments to do his work. The labourers are labouring as instruments of the Lord. And those who are the watchmen and the keepers of the city, they are watching and they're keeping, but they are instruments in the hands of the Lord. And that's what we would surely acknowledge this evening, would we not? That the Lord keeps Israel. He's the Lord builds the house. He's the keeper of Israel. But he uses men labouring and watching as those who are but instruments in his hand. My friend, you have a duty to perform in God's house. The minister has his duty to perform. The elders and the deacons have their duties to perform. Members of the church have their duties to perform. But do you perform whatever duties the Lord, it may be that you're a burden bearer, may it be that you are there to wrestle in prayer with the Lord for God's cause, whatever the Lord would have you to do, maybe you're like a Tabitha who was full of good works. But my friend, as you perform the work, whatever the Lord would have you to do you do it in the strength of the Lord? Do you do it in absolute dependence upon the Lord, knowing that it is the Lord alone that is able to bless whatever you do? A preacher may preach, but it's only the Lord that can build the house. A preacher may take a text and expound a text, but it's the Lord that's the keeper of Israel. It's only the Lord that can give the blessing. We may be able to ask for the blessing. We may be seek the blessing. But it's only God that's able to give the blessing. So therefore, we are but instruments in the hands of the Lord. And the psalmist says, except the Lord will bless the house. Except the Lord will build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Whatever labour there is, and we have to labour, whatever labour it is, unless it's blessed by the Lord, it's in vain. And except the Lord keep the city, we may seek to keep God's city. We may be watchmen, but we may seek. But without God's keeping, then the city is in peril. So therefore we see that the Lord is the builder and the keeper. And those who labour are labouring when they do so in dependence upon the Lord. And with the blessing of the Lord, they're not labouring in vain. Otherwise they are. But look at the results that flow from this. Look at the results that flow from God's rich blessing. And the first is peace. Peace. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You see, you may labour, but then you can leave it to the Lord. You may labour and you may seek to be watching, but you're not going to be able there all the time. You're not going to be able to watch and keep the city, are you? And you're not able, you may scatter the seed. A preacher may scatter the seed, but he's not able to make it grow. But he can go to bed at night and he can rest assured in peace that the Lord will do the rest. How often do you go to bed at night and you're not able to sleep because there's this bothering you, there's that bothering you, there's whatever else bothering you, it brings you anxiety? Well, look at what Matthew says. Again, going back to the Sermon on the Mount. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ himself says. What in chapter 6, when he's talking about this very anxiety. You know, the psalmist here says, it's vain to be up late, to go early, to eat the bread of sorrows, so he gives his beloved sleep. This is the picture of someone that's absolutely worried. He's got sorrow. He goes to his bed late because he's trying to get things up early in the morning because he can't sleep. But what the psalmist says here, if it's the Lord that's going to do it, then the Lord will bring the blessing. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father, he feedeth them." The fowls of the air, they don't sow anything, they don't labour the way man labours, but your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Think of the lilies of the valley. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. They don't spin anything, they don't toil, they don't labour. But he says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies of the field. And are you not more precious? Are you not more precious than any of these? So he says, he goes on to say, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." In other words, whatever problems that there may be, sufficient unto the day. You let tomorrow take care of itself. And you can do that. Why can you do that? Why can you leave the concerns of the church and go to your bed, the way the church is, the way the church, the things in our land, the way things are. And yet, he says, you leave it in the hands of the Lord. You leave these spiritual things to the Lord. You labour. And then the Lord will build. The Lord will keep the church. The Lord will do it. And the Lord will give his beloved sleep. You don't need to lose sleep over it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't think about these things. Just leave that to the Lord and go and have sleep. Think of what Paul writes when he writes to the church at Philippi. He writes of something of this in chapter 4. And when he says, "Be careful for nothing." How can you be careful for nothing? How are you going to be careful for nothing? "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What a wonderful assurance it is that we have that Jesus Christ loves his church. The foundation he has laid, we are to build upon it. And it is him, he himself, that is the builder, the great master builder, using instruments to building it. And he it is that will keep the church and has kept the church and will keep the church until he comes again. But not only is it that a great we are able to cast our burdens upon him, knowing that he careth for us, but think of the blessings that he continues to speak of here. "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord." Now, it may be that the apostle, that the writer here is speaking just about children, but I think it's children that are the heritage of the Lord. "The fruit of the womb is his reward." In other words, the church has spiritual children that are born into her. Even the children that are born in the church, we should be looking for spiritual blessings upon our children. That's what the psalmist is here saying. He says, if you trust in the Lord, leave it to the Lord, know that the Lord builds the house, then you look for the blessing among the children in the church. We all have children, you know. My children are the children of the church. Your children, if you have any, they are the children, they are our children. They are the young people of the church. They are a great blessing that the Lord has given to the church. And when we acknowledge God and when we seek his blessing, they are his heritage. They are his blessing. They're not something that's earned. It's something that's a blessing from his hand. My friend, when you think of the children of the Church of Christ, even in our own congregation, do you pray for them? Do you pray for the children of the church? Do you pray that they would that they would be like arrows in the hands of a mighty man? Think of a man pulling a bow and the arrow that flies out. Well, do you pray that they would be arrows in the hands of a mighty man? What greater man can you have today than the Lord Jesus Christ? That our children would be arrows in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you pray that the children, happy is the man that has his quiver, that is his house filled with these. Happy is the church when the church has the house filled with believing young people. Young people that will not be ashamed. It says they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What's in the gate? Well, it can mean one of two things. It can be in the place of business, because at the gate, remember, bargains were concluded at the gates of the city. If you remember Boaz going down there and concluding the bargain, or the place of justice. And we're seeing that the great blessing is young people within the Church of Christ, God's house, that God will bless and raise up. We should be looking for children in the church, not in the world, not out in the world, not going door to door. I'm not saying we shouldn't do door to door, but that's not when you primarily look for the blessing. Remember, the blessing is to you and to your children and to your children's children. The children of the church. These are our children. And how we ought to be praying that the young people of our church, our congregation, should be blessed. That they would not be ashamed, but that they would in fact be arrows in the hands of a mighty man. That they would be in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would not be ashamed, but they would speak to the enemy of the church. Even in business. That they would be enabled to speak of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy is the man whose house and whose house is full of them. Happy is the man. My friend, what would make you happy this evening? What would make me happy? What would make any of us surely happy? Would it not be that our children, our children's children, would be not ashamed of the gospel? They would be mighty in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would be unashamed to speak the word before the enemies of the cross. We want to see our young people getting on, of course we do. We want to see them getting on in work. We want to see them getting on in whatever vocation they have set their mind to. We want to see them getting on and getting married, perhaps, and having children. That's a great thing. My friend, that's nothing in comparison. That's not what the psalm here is talking about. I don't believe it's just that they would get married and have children. And that's it. Children are a great blessing. But here he's talking about children in the church who themselves are a great blessing to their parents, as they are not ashamed of the gospel. Remember, the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul spoke to kings and to princes the words of the Lord. Happy is the man that whose house is filled with these. They are not ashamed. They speak with the enemies in the gate, in the place of business, in the place of authority, in the place of judicatory, wherever they are found, they speak the word of God. Well, then, that's the great blessings that flow. And where does it all begin? It doesn't begin with the young people. It doesn't begin with a happy man. It begins with the acknowledgement that what man cannot do, the Lord is able to do. What man could not do for his own salvation, the Lord was able to do that. He laid a foundation that is sure and steadfast, upon which the church must be built. And as the church builds upon that foundation, so it is the Lord that is building one stone upon another. He's building his own church. And as he builds it, so it is that he keeps the church. He builds the church, he keeps the church. And my friend, that ought to make you truly blessed. as you labour, whatever small thing we may do for God's house, it's not what we do. It's what the great master builder will do. And he can build the church. He can keep the church. And he will bless his own house. May it be that we would be blessed this evening as we consider these things. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for the goodness of thy grace. We thank thee for the many blessings that we have as we gather here as part of thy house, part of thy city. We know that thou art the God that is able to build thine own house. Thou art the God that will keep thy city. Thy church is in thine hand because it is thine. We bless thee that Paul may plant and Apollos may water, but it is God alone who will give the increase. We may scatter the seed, but only God will bring forth fruit. May it be this evening that we would acknowledge that how much we need thy blessing upon all our labours. And we would ask, O Lord, that in all these blessings, we would know spiritual children being born again by the power of the gospel, who would not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Bless us now, pardon us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll conclude singing in the same psalm, Psalm 127, in the tune of St. Andrew. Except the Lord to build the house, the builders lose their pain. Except the Lord the city keep, the watchmen watch in vain. 'Tis vain for you to rise betimes or late from rest to keep, to feed on sorrow's bread, so gives he his beloved sleep. Lo, children are God's heritage, the womb's fruit his reward. The sons of youth as arrows are, for strong men's hands prepared. O happy is the man that hath his quiver filled with those. The unashamed in the gate shall speak unto their foes. Psalm 127, the whole of the psalm, except the Lord to build the house.
Except the Lord to
prayer meeting on Monday evening at 7 p.m. There is a congregational prayer meeting this Thursday at 7:30. It's on Zoom and it goes out live on sermon audio at 8 p.m. That's on Thursday, 7:30, and then at 8 p.m. on sermon audio. And the services next Lord's Day are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. These are all the intimations that, God willing, will conclude with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.